afternoon, and thanks for your interest, and thanks for coming. So my name is Melanie Canterbury, and I am a research manager at the Louisiana Public Health Institute. And I work on a variety of different projects, mostly providing help with methodology and analysis, which is what I've been working on with this evaluation. And so today, what I'm going to talk to you about is the evaluation that we've been conducting for the School Food Collaborative. So Tasleem talked some about the partners that were involved as far as the collaborative goes, but I just want to mention a little bit more about the vendors and schools, because that's mostly what I'm going to be focusing on. So we had three vendors that were involved in this evaluation. So two of those vendors, Revolution Foods and Sodexo, were servicing schools that were part of the collaborative. And so these were vendors that in our districts were held to these higher standards. And so they should be, so the idea was that they would be providing fresh, more healthy food to the students in those schools. Chartwell's was the traditional vendor that served the schools in our evaluation that were not part of the collaborative. And so we had eight different schools that were in the evaluation that were getting their food from these three vendors. And these are the schools where we did our data collection. So the goals of our evaluation were one, to measure the effect of the Healthy School Food Collaborative. And one of the main things we were trying to do there is just evaluate how much kids were consuming and what types of food they were consuming and how much nutrition they were actually getting. And the goal of this was to be able to inform the collaborative so they could make future decisions about their programming to increase healthy food consumption and ultimately decrease obesity in schools in New Orleans. But in addition to providing information back to the collaborative, a big part of what we were doing is actually providing information directly back to the schools that were participating in the evaluation. So we wanted to provide them with information about how much kids in their schools were consuming, what they were consuming most, in addition to other school policies and things that take place in the cafeteria that might affect the kids' consumption in those particular schools. So ultimately, we want to expand our partnership, so increase the number of schools that are involved in the collaborative, but also the collective impact. So go just beyond. So right now, we're really focusing on providing that healthy food. But ultimately, we do want to increase consumption of healthy food and enjoyment and interest in healthy food, so programming, so getting programming in place for that. But also, ultimately, we want to decrease obesity, so involving more than just food programming to increase overall physical health. So we first conducted a pilot study, and we did this early last year. And the goal of the pilot study was really to test our methodology for evaluating consumption of student lunches. So in this pilot study, we involved three different vendors and eight schools. And we looked at kids in kindergarten through fifth grade. So we went to the schools for one day and evaluated consumption of those lunches and ended up with data on over 2,000 trays of food. So these results were presented last year at APHA, but I just want to kind of briefly go over this consumption information by vendor. So we found that one of the collaborative vendors generally had pretty low consumption. So these percentages represent the amount that the kids consumed of each of those items. So the first collaborative vendor had the lowest consumption, however, they did have the most healthy food options according to the nutrition. The second collaborative vendor, so vendor two, was part of the collaborative. They did have the highest vegetable consumption, but they were also high in sodium. And then the non-traditional, so the traditional vendor, the one that was not part of the collaborative, had the highest consumption. So this was the food that kids were most used to eating in the schools because it was the traditional vendor. However, they did have the least desirable nutrients of the three vendors. So from the pilot, and I'm going to go more into the methodology in a couple of slides, but the main goal was to make sure that we could actually collect this plate waste data, which is the methodology that we use to evaluate the consumption, and to collect the nutrient data, so we determined that we could do that. We also found, and this is important, we found that schools really want to be involved. So we had to form these partnerships with the schools, but the schools were excited about it. They wanted to know more about what their kids were eating, so they were interested in working with us, allowing us into their schools to collect this data. But also being in the schools, we became more aware that there are likely many additional factors beyond the actual food that's provided that are affecting the consumption. That's something we wanted to investigate further. So we completed the pilot analysis last summer, and then we started planning for this current phase that I'm going to be talking about. And we spent the latter part of last year planning and developing those relationships with the schools and the vendors. And we actually collected the data in the early part of this year, and that's when we went to the schools and collected the plate waste data. And now we're in the process of disseminating some of our initial findings. So the objectives that we had for this evaluation were, one, to determine daily student consumption, and the main objective here was to compare the consumption in those schools that had the that were part of the Healthy School Food Collaborative to the schools that had the traditional vendor. And remember, the Healthy School Food Collaborative schools had those increased standards to meet. And so to do this, we're going to use a plate waste methodology, and that's really the focus of what I'm going to be talking about, is to go into more detail about this methodology and some of our findings from that consumption. But in addition, we wanted to examine lunchtime characteristics because, like we said, there's likely more to their eating behavior than just the actual food that's served. So we did a cafeteria environmental scan where we recorded different things that were happening in the cafeteria that could affect consumption, like the cleanliness, how food was served, whether lunches were silent or social, and Brittany's going to talk more about that in a later talk. We also looked at student satisfaction with their food, with a survey and focus groups in the schools. And also, like Tasleem was mentioning, part of this is assuring that the collaborative schools are actually adhering to their contractual requirements of meeting those increased standards. And to do this, we developed a fidelity monitoring tool and conducted a menu analysis. Okay, so phase two, which is the current phase that I'm telling you about. So we, again, had three vendors and eight schools, and this time we limited it to fourth and fifth graders only, and the main reason for that is because we drastically increased the number of days where we were collecting data. So instead of just doing one day, we're collecting plate waste data for 40 days in those schools. And so one of the reasons is so we would get a variety of different menus over the course of that time and increase the generalizability of our findings. So in total, after we ended up doing some cleaning of the data, we ended up with consumption data from over 20,000 trays of food for these students. So now I want to tell you a little about the daily protocol of the steps that were actually taken each day whenever we collected the data in the schools. So each school was assigned three research assistants who worked for the Louisiana Public Health Institute. And they worked with the cafeteria staff. So they would arrive at school in the morning before lunch started, and they had a few things that they had to do before the lunch started. One was they needed to label the trays so that they would be able to track those trays over the course of the meal to determine what was actually being consumed. We used weights to determine consumption. So before lunch started, they collected pre-weights of all the food that was being served that day. And so this was going to be the basis of how we were going to calculate how much was actually consumed. And so for those pre-weights, the cafeteria staff provided us with 10 servings of each item that was on the menu that day. And the assistants weighed those, and then we took the average of those to be the weight of that item for that day. In addition, they recorded the menu items on a key so that it would increase efficiency whenever they needed to note what each student took when they went through the lunch line, and I'll show you what that looked like. So at lunchtime, they stood at the end of the line, our research assistants, and when a tray came through that was labeled, they would record what the student chose. So the key part would have that pre-filled area that they did before lunch started where they would indicate what the different food options were for that day. And so when the student came through, they would note their tray number and what selections they had made on their lunch. So after lunch, so the kids would eat. They were told on those days to not throw away their trays, and we did remove the trash cans so they wouldn't be tempted to do that. and they turned in their trays to the research assistants. So the research assistants then weighed each of their leftovers separately, and we used that to calculate the consumption of each of those items for those trays. In addition, after lunch, the assistants, like I said, we were recording this other data too, so the cafeteria environmental scan. We were looking to see if the menu that was served actually matched what was planned or what was posted to be on the menu, and the other factors that we're going to be looking at to see if they're related to consumption. So in the beginning, we were thinking, because one of the things that we wanted to do was evaluate how much nutrition the kids were actually getting. So at first we thought we were going to have to go use some software and basically get an average of what the nutrition would be for the different items. But we worked with the vendors on this, and they provided detailed menus for every day during that 8-week period for each of those schools. And so this is an example of one of the ones that we were provided with. And you'll see, so this is for one particular day. They show all of the options that were available at that school and the nutrition information for each of those options. And so because we had this detailed information, we were able to combine that with the percentages that we had for consumption to actually determine what percentage they consumed of nutrition, of the nutrition that was there on their plate. So I'm going to talk to you about a few of the results that we have at this point, and I'm going to focus on really just looking at consumption differences between the vendors. So just to remind you here, we have three vendors that are part of this evaluation. Vendors 1 and 2 are part of the collaborative, so they're serving those schools that are part of the collaborative. And for the evaluation, we had 2 schools in each of those vendors. And then the third vendor was not part of the collaborative. This was the traditional vendor servicing 3 schools that were in the evaluation. Okay. So, sorry. So we started just by looking at gender, and I haven't mentioned that yet, but there's previous research showing, again and again, that boys tend to eat more than girls, which we would expect. And so just to kind of validate our results and to be sure we're on the right track with our collection of this consumption data, we did compare boys and girls and how much they were eating. And so when we calculated the amount of calories they were consuming based on the nutrition information that was provided, we found that boys were consuming significantly more calories than girls, which we would expect. When we looked across the different food items, so this is showing the percentage that they consumed of each of those food items. We found that this difference in calories was really driven by the higher consumption of the entree and the milk among boys, whereas they were consuming about the same veggies and fruit. So now I'm going to share with you some of the findings that we have just looking at how the consumption of the different food categories differed by these 3 vendors. So the blue bars are for the 2 collaborative vendors, so these are the 2 healthier vendors, and the brown bar is the traditional vendor. So for the entree, consumption is not terrible, so they're consuming over 50% of their entree on average. And you do see, though, that it is lower for that healthy, for the first healthy vendor. However, when you look across the other categories, we're seeing that consumption is generally much lower than it is with the entree. And it's much lower across all 3 vendors. So one thing I'll point out is that, so with the first healthy vendor, vendor number 1, we see that the consumption is generally much lower than the others. So this is one of those non-traditional vendors. The food that they're providing is probably different from what the kids are used to. It is much healthier. But the second vendor for the collaborative is more like what they're used to eating with the traditional vendor. So you would think that potentially milk would be one of those categories where you'd see similar consumption across the board, but if you remember, Tasleem already mentioned this or alluded to this, the non-traditional vendor serves chocolate milk, and they apparently like that much more than they like white milk. And so I'll just note that these numbers represent the amount consumed for each tray by these categories. So for instance, if a student didn't select a milk at all, then they would get a 0. So those are included in these averages. So some schools, particularly if you look at the milk for the HSFC2, that middle bar, it's lower. But there was one of those schools where a lot of the kids didn't take a milk at all, so they're not getting much milk consumption. So that's one of the reasons that it could be lower. Okay, and so now I'm going to share some of the nutrition information, so how their consumption relates to meeting the USDA standards for school lunches. So we used the percentage that they ate and calculated how much they consumed of the recommended amount by USDA. And so, in case that isn't clear, so the USDA recommends that kids get for school lunch about 600 calories. So it's really between 550 and 650, but I use 650 or 600 for the purposes of this calculation because I want to see how much are kids meeting that standard. And for sodium, it should be less than 1,230 milligrams. So across the three vendors, so this kind of matches what we saw in the previous slide where consumption is generally kind of low overall. So the amount of calories that they're consuming of what is the standard that is recommended by the USDA is about half. But one thing I'd like to point out, so kind of on a positive note, if you notice the sodium bars are all lower and they're significantly lower than those caloric bars. What that means is that the amount of sodium that they're intaking is actually less than what it has to be. Because, well, and this is good news, because the sodium requirements from the USDA are going to be decreasing by about half over the next decade. So this shows that the vendors, actually all the vendors, are kind of on the right track here. So the students aren't consuming as much sodium as they are of the calories. So they're on track to meet that goal. So that's good. So some of this might seem kind of discouraging, because overall consumption is fairly low, so they're consuming less than 50% of their lunches. However, what I'm showing you here are the percentage consumption of foods that they like the most. So these numbers that are in parentheses, so the percentages, what that means is that, so when they were served chicken nuggets for vendor two, they ate 99% of those chicken nuggets. So these are the most popular foods for each of those vendors. And so I think this is good news because we see that whenever the kids like the food, they're eating a lot of it. It's just that they're not being served the foods that they really like every day. And another thing that I would like you to note is that, so remember these are fourth and fifth graders, and if you look at these foods, a lot of them are finger foods and kind of easy for them to eat. And so, for instance, with fruit, you'll see that they eat a lot of grapes and they like these watermelon pieces, but often actually what they're served are whole apples and oranges, and the consumption of those is much lower. Okay, so the conclusions from our evaluation. One, we can work with the schools and vendors to collect a very large amount of data. So it was very labor intensive, so you have to develop the relationship. There's a lot of effort that goes into collecting the data and managing the data. However, it's worth it because we have this huge, rich data set. It's informative, and even with these preliminary results that we have, this can be informative for schools in making decisions about their school food. So on average, students are eating only about half of what's recommended, but they do have high consumption rates of their favorite foods, and this is something we can maybe work with. So we'll know that they'll eat whenever they like the food. So potentially in the future, we should focus on increasing that healthy food consumption. So making them want to eat those other types of foods more. And then also addressing additional factors that affect consumption, and Brittany's going to talk about some of that in a couple of talks. So lastly, all these results that I just showed you were from just looking at ANOVA, looking at differences between those vendors. But we're working on doing nested modeling, and we'll actually control for the other factors so we can really determine what is most statistically affecting the consumption outcomes. Okay. So, yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Simon. I have a question because we talk about how the kids will eat what they like.
Right.
Do you or the vendor of the school think about incorporating what the kids like to eat and see if the vendor can include that as part of their meal plan?
So part of what we're going to be doing when we're feeding the information back to, so we're in the process of writing this up, and so we will be providing this back to the vendor, back to the collaborative, back to the schools. And so we think that they will be using some of this to inform their decisions when they're deciding about the menus, right? Yeah, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are actually some of the exact things that we looked at. And so Brittany's going to talk about some of those. And we are definitely looking at those factors and how it relates to lunch. And they do. So they do affect consumption. So we know that. And that's why ultimately, eventually we're going to use modeling where we're able to include everything. Yeah.